Message is joy and hope. Joy and hope. Those are two nice words, aren't they? Joy and hope. And this is the first part of a series entitled The Center of My Life. The Center of My Life. And I wanted to start with a couple of questions today. What is at the center of this thing called your heart? What lives at the center of your heart? One way to identify what lives at the center of our heart is when we arise in the morning, some of the things that we begin to dwell and think upon, because that which resides in us has our focus and has our attention. What is at the core of your soul? I think God has placed us here to be good stewards of what we call our soul and our heart. And it's vital that we understand what has us, what lives at the very core of who we are. But there's one way that we can see what lives in us, and it's called hard times. Hard times reveal our true character. You been there? Everything's going smooth. We kind of just kind of coast and everything's cool. But we let hard times come, or when hard times come, the true character of who we are has a tendency of showing itself. Adversity calls out the source we trust in. Whenever times change and get difficult, it reveals really what's at the center of our heart. Because when things do not go the way that we want them to go, and adversity, difficulty comes, what we hold to the most is what we reach for in times of difficulty. I remember years ago, I was in a church service back in the early 80s, and we had a guest speaker. And this guest speaker had experienced a horrific event in his life. Back in the 70s, there were two large jets that were on a runway. And I don't remember exactly what city, but they were jumbo-sized jets, large jets. And on the runway, they collided. And the jets caught fire. And this man talks about how he was seated in between two other people, and all of a sudden, smoke started filling into the fuselage, and fire began to break out. And he said one of the things that he will never forget is that in times of crisis, when it looked like everyone was going to perish, he thought in his mind that in those times that people would cry out for who? For cry out for God to come and help them. But he said the opposite was true. He said he'll never forget when the flames began to pour into that plane, he began to hear some of the most vile cursing and language that he said that he could ever imagine. So instead of crying out for help from God, many were just screaming out profanity. And what does that tell us? It tells us adversity has a tendency to expose the core of who we are. This gentleman went on to tell the story of how he miraculously was rescued. And I still remember this image. He said he looked up and there was an opening above him. And when he somehow reached and was able to get out of that plane, and he survived to be able to tell that story. But again, when was the last time you met adversity? And what came forth from the abundance of the heart? What spoke out through that gift called language? And what was the countenance of your soul in that adversity? And then I think all of us here can relate to this. What has been revealed in your character through the trials of 2020. Now, to be honest with you, I'm not real happy with everything that came out of my character. It has been a very difficult year. But what has this adversity revealed in our character? Followers of Christ, though, are built for times like these. We are built for adversity. God did not make us weak. He made us strong. And there's some reasons why we're built for times like this. For we are people that are not guided by our feelings. We are people not guided by the wisdom of this world. We are people that are guided by the Word of God. We are people led by absolute truth and wisdom. We are built for times such as this. We don't have to be fearful of the manipulation that will occur. We listen to the Word of God. Isn't that good? We are made for times such as this because we are guided by God's Word. And not only that, we are empowered by God's Spirit. So no matter the adversity that comes against us, it is not greater than the Spirit of God that lives within us. We are built for times like these because at the core of our life is the very living Spirit of God. We will grow and be strengthened in these days of adversity. That's been one of my fears. God, I do not want to see the church dissipate. I don't want to see the souls of many give up. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see my soul give up, Lord. I don't want adversity to lead my steps. I want you to lead my steps. But we are promised we will be strengthened in these days of adversity. So hold on, don't give up. And then we go back to this. What lives at the center of the heart? What lives at the center of our heart? What is our base? What is our foundation? What is at the core of your soul? And you know, nobody else can answer that for you. Your soul is a trust that God has placed into your care. A limited time upon this earth do we have to mold and to see that soul develop and that character develop until we answer for all eternity for what we did upon this earth. God gives us guidance of what should be at the center and characteristics that should be there. When Jesus is the center of our life, there's going to be some clear signs. We will be joyful in hope. If my soul is centered and based upon Christ, the joyful power of God will live in me, and I will be joyful in hope. It's kind of like this guitar. Chas, I won't do it, but I was tempted. That guitar, if it's not calibrated or tuned properly, makes a terrible sound. But there's many different tools that you can get that will allow that calibration to be done. Little things that you can clip on to tune it, or things that you can plug in to tune it and calibrate it so that it is in harmony and it sounds wonderful. And then for a guy like Chas has an ear and he can know when that guitar is in proper tune. He can tune it just with the skill God has given him. In our lives, we are called to make sure that our soul is calibrated, that in our lives it rings forth a sound of joy and hope. And then the question would be this: do you hear joy and hope within yourself. And then it goes beyond that. Do others hear the sound of hope and joy when they're around you? Is the soul calibrated to the base of God? Meaning, are we seated with God at the center of our lives? Romans 12:12 tells us this. The calibration of the heart of a believer is going to have these signs. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And today we're focusing in on be joyful in hope. Guard hope with all of your heart. You cannot live with joy unless you have hope. So if hope is not there, if adversity has come to remove hope, don't allow it. Guard the hope that God has placed within you. You say, Pastor, it's been a hard year. Yeah, it's been very hard. And it may get harder. And we know this, as the Lord tarries, it will get harder. So if joy is conditional, then we're in a whole lot of trouble. But joy is not conditional. We see in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, a preparation. I'll be happy if things are happy around me. I will be joyful if the setting is joyful. That is not what James teaches us. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Another way of saying that, produces patience. Hold on to joy. Guard it. Because joy is going to meet trials. Joy is God's protection for us through the trial. The last thing to do is when things get hard, to give up hope and joy. Then we become vulnerable. When the trials come, look for the joy that God has. Because He does have it. And when you're standing in the middle of the struggle, when life is maybe at the end, if it is joy, it persists through knowing that there is a greater hope of eternal life. You know, I often wonder, what is the point? What is the point? Just to live, to die? Is that what it's about? Don't get mad at me when I say this. Death stinks. It's like this. You go to the grocery store. Now, this sounds mean. I don't mean it to sound mean. You go to the grocery store and you look for some good bread, right? And sometimes the better bread doesn't have the preservatives in it. And we're drawn. I'm going to get that. Because what? It smells good. Bring it home, set it on the counter. Within a few days, things start to what? Dissipate. And then you've been there. I want a sandwich. But there's these things growing on my bread. And then you're tempted. Can I cut it off? Can I cut it off? And we have, at times, just cut it off and ate the bread, right? Death is horrible. Fading is horrible. But there are those right now that know the door is close. And their joy is abundant because their hope is not in this flesh and in this world. And that is what always amazes me. Because if I just look at the outward, live, start as a baby, get young, and then start to fade and get old, and then things don't work. That is no fun, right? But when your hope is in God, you know this temporal tent He already told us. It's like a jar of clay. It will fade. Don't put your hope in it. But those that press through the struggle and hold on to the hope, they give us what? Hope. And never forget, regardless of the trial, guard hope with all of your heart and always know joy. Joy is not conditional. Joy is because it is there regardless of what surrounds us. Joy is God's protection for when the trials come. And all of this testing has purpose. Does the joy of Christ live within you right now? Right now, in the heavy trial that you're walking through, can you honestly say, I have the joy of the Lord regardless of what I'm walking through? And then we realize, you know what? God is real, because everything around me stinks. Everything around me is a challenge, but joy is still prevailing because God is real. Joy, however, does not live without hope. You can't have joy without hope. The joy of Christ is not sourced in our strength. Guard hope, for if you do not guard hope, your joy will fade. Hope, hope. Let's look at this. We don't have to drum it up. We don't have to, like, put on the right power in ourselves. No. This scripture just tells us clearly, Romans 15:13. First of all, we serve a God of what? Hope. We serve a God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Now here comes our responsibility as you trust in Him. Where does that trust come from? It comes from the faith that He's already provided. But what will happen is when hard times come, I get my eyes off of Him and I begin to trust in myself, or I begin to rely more on the core of the struggle than the core of the God of hope within me. It's really easy to do that because adversity is big. It comes and it gets our attention and it wants us to focus our heart in it rather than in God. And the thing is, there's no adversity, there's no struggle that is bigger than our God of hope. None whatsoever. Even to the point of martyrdom, nothing is bigger than the God of hope that we serve. And then, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may, I love this, overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, this is a hope that's not just centered on self, but it's so abundant that it pours out and it gives others hope. The sounds of hope and joy radiate within our spirit, within our soul. And they're so resounding that they go forth out of our actions and our words to pour forth into others. Again, not sourced in us, but sourced in the God that we serve. Joy flows from the strength of God's Spirit within us. Can we say, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. The hope of glory within. See, we started with this. Our journey on this earth is like a vapor. It's like a mist. But our journey on this earth is a preparation for what's coming. My heart breaks at the loss of our brother Kenny. Here not just a few weeks ago. And an accident led him into eternity. We miss Kenny. We don't know our time. So the preparation cannot be something that's out in the distance. The preparation is right now. And it's a good preparation. It's God saying, I've placed you here to build things in you that will last for all eternity. Get it now. Understand it now. I'm sitting here ready to pour hope and joy in you. Let me be the center of your life. Let me prepare you for eternity. And then Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 tells us this. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Now look close at this. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What we're seeing here is that by mercy, God said the Gentiles are going to be grafted into this plan I have. You're not going to be cast away. You're going to be invited in. And in fact, you're going to be invited in such a measure, it's going to make Jews amazed of what God is doing in you, not because we are so great, but our God of hope has chosen us as a deposit of his hope of glory. And what does that look like? Christ in you. Christ at the center of your life. A hope that doesn't dissipate through adversity. A hope that intensifies with the joy of the Lord as your strength in the middle of things that you want to go away, yet they are coming at us each day. The hope of glory. What does that really mean? It means, Carlos, God formed and made you uniquely, and he filled your life with his plans and his purposes. And he has placed a power within you so that his glory will be revealed. What does that mean? His purposes will be fulfilled in you, regardless of the adversity that comes. His purposes lived out bring him the highest glory. The hope of glory, not just on this earth, but in all eternity. See, when Christ is within, Christ in you, the hope of glory, hope is within. So why is the warning so clear? The warning is this. If I have no hope, then I have to look at that as being a sign that I'm pushing Christ further away from me. For if Christ is in, hope will be there. Will we be challenged? Yes. But remember, a loss of hope is a loss of the center of Christ in us. And hope is so much more than a feeling. Hope is a power that God has placed that is not easily surrendered. Days we want to say, this is it, I'm done. Right? That's okay. We're going to go through that. That's not abnormal for a carnal vessel, a fallible vessel. But we press through. We don't give up. We press on. We mess up, but we press on because the hope that we have is more than our ability. Because it is Christ within. The hope of glory within. Let's look at this real quick this morning. The perishing soul is a neglected soul. It's a soul that's there, but it's forgotten. It's a soul that has been entrusted, but it's been set aside. It is not living in the focus of the heart or the mind anymore. It's just dismissed. The perishing soul is a neglected soul. That right now is all over our nation. A nation that has said God doesn't matter. A nation that says God is the last thing on my agenda. A nation that has trusted in its own power and its own self. So many people have totally forgotten about their soul. Because why? The soul is not taught. You know, one of the things that breaks my heart right now, so many are outside of the knowledge of God. If our leaders don't proclaim Christ, if our churches don't proclaim Christ, if our schools don't have avenues to proclaim hope, if our families have totally blocked Christ out, where is the hope going to come from? The perishing soul is the neglected soul. And may God have mercy on the soul of our nation. And may the nourishment that he can provide return. And then also the perishing soul is the unfed soul. You got to feed it for it to press forward in strength, right? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 tells us this. This is not just for the baby Christian. This is for every Christian. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Grow up into, let's go back, grow up into salvation. That's the problem right there. Man, I went to church back in 1994. And I gave my heart to Jesus. And I got what? Saved. So I got it. Don't have to worry about it. Forget about your soul. Forget about the pure spiritual milk. When I read the scripture, I understand this. This ain't just one prayer. This is a journey that God has us on. And if you don't like it, make sure your doctrine flows not from the desire of a fallen heart, but a desire to honor the Word of God. We must be nurtured by pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And then, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, thinking about that for a minute. If you don't taste, you don't know it's good, right? You don't. In the grocery store, you walk in my stuff. That looks good. But you haven't tasted it, right? And you haven't bought it. You haven't moved there, put it in the basket, and brought it home. So you go by, that looks good, but you haven't tasted. But right now in your cabinets at your house, there's some things that you've tasted and you know that they're good, and they're in your cabinet probably every week, right? Because you tasted it. You experienced it, and you keep what? Buying it. But you know what? There's a whole lot of people that claim faith in God, but they've never tasted the spiritual milk. So they don't know how good God is. But there's a whole lot of people that have tasted how good that spiritual milk is, and they will not relinquish it regardless of the adversity that comes, because it is at the center of their soul, the center of their life. We got to taste, y'all. See, I had a sip. You got to take it every day. For the perishing soul is the unfed soul. And once you've tasted of that spiritual milk of God, nothing else will satisfy. No matter how hard we try. No matter how hard we try, nothing will satisfy like the nourishing spiritual milk of God. Nothing. And right now, somebody's struggling because they have tasted and they saw how good God is. Yet the world and adversity is poured in, and now they've set aside the nourishment. They've neglected the soul. The soul is going unfed, but they're still looking to fill, to fill, to fill, and it's not satisfying. So now that which comes into the body, there's no look to see what is this actually doing to me, because the quest to be satisfied is greater than the wisdom to guard what is entering in. There's nothing that will replace the hope and the joy that God will give as we allow him to nurture our soul. And then this, the perishing soul is a poisoned soul. It's a soul that is holding on to the old. It is a soul that is willing to be fed by the works of the flesh. The perishing soul allows the impurities to remain. We as God's people must guard hope within our hearts. Guard hope within your heart. Joy does not live without hope within. So right now, I remember looking at the image of 2021, and it kind of scared me, because I first rejoiced that 2020 is soon to be behind us, right? And I'd be so happy to see the 2020 get out of my face. I'd be really happy with that. But then this thought hit me. You're just adding a number on. And I can get caught up in that. I can get fearful in that. I can start focusing in on that. I can let that be what's in. And I have been. And I ask God to help me. Because there's nothing that is greater than having the God of hope in us in the middle of the greatest challenges that we will ever face. He's good when things are calm. He's good when things are chaotic. He is faithful. The soul that is centered on Christ makes room for God's strength of joy, which brings a living hope within. We all need, at the center of our heart, the God of hope living, the God that provides joy. I'm going to ask this morning if we can prepare to enjoy the Lord's table today. And we're going to take communion today as we also celebrate Advent. So I'm going to ask if we can just close in a word of prayer as we prepare to distribute the elements of communion. Jesus, we invite you to live at the center of our heart. And we ask the wisdom of God to reveal things that have crept in to move you from the center, Lord. So we speak hope to hearts this morning. We thank you for those that are gathered by the stream today. Visit in the powerful way that only your Spirit can, the center of their heart right now. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies of faith lived out through year after year after year. The hope that it gives of seeing and hearing that sign of hope and joy within the hearts of our brothers and sisters. So magnify it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts to partake of the elements of communion, we say, if there's anything, Lord, that you have identified, we ask, if there's need of repentance in our lives, that you would show it clear and give us strength to be able to turn and to trust in you, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.